Surely that's what we've come to do today, is worship the Lord. I know that I'd have to go by the testimony of many hearts here this morning that God's put our hearts in the same place. And I like what's been said so many times this morning. I don't want complacency. I don't want routine. I don't want to fall into, this was a thought I had at home, the rut of religion. I don't want it. I really don't. It's a horrible thing to have something so detrimentally wrong with your body and not know it. And the next thing you know, your life's in such a condition, it may never be repaired. And spiritually, I fear many times that people's lives are in that rut. I don't want the routine. I want to be what God would have me to be for Him today, completely, with all of me gone. I'd have to be honest. I know who my worst enemy is. I had to shave him this morning, had to feed him, and he is my worst enemy. It's not the criminals and the wickedness of society. Oh, it's right here. Lord, help us this morning to be able to give God the glory for allowing us by His strength and power that this can be brought into subjection by Him. Definitely good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Much and many objects for us to keep upon our hearts and be held up to God. Please, let's do our best to keep remembering our sick and our shut-in. Most of all, the lost, them that do not know God. Lord, help us to be a bearing them up to Him. I wonder this morning, anybody got anything upon their hearts before we go any further? Have your Bibles, like to read with us, turn with us in Zechariah chapter 4. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4. Zechariah 4. If you can and are able, rest from your seats. When we look at this, I pray that you listen very close to the reading of the Word of the Lord, and that even the sound of it would be a blessing to you. Tremendous words in this chapter. Tremendous indeed. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with the bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And he answered again and said unto me, What be these two olive branches which through the plant, through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. You may be seated. Greatly appreciate the word of God this morning and that it means to our hearts and the thoughts that we have had on this, and we covet earnestly your prayers that the Lord would help us. One thought we've had several times upon our heart this morning, and I'm glad to report to you that God is abundantly able to hear and answer every prayer that's in the house this morning. That God is abundantly able to pass by your life and my life and instruct us and lead us to the place that our lives can truly be pleasing to God. He can be touched. He can answer. He's God. He's alive and well. We're not today, if you will, here to go through a form or a fashion. This man that I read to you about this morning, and I know that we're in the book of Zechariah, and we're reading about a vision that came to him. And I hope and pray that God would help us with words to be able to form what he's put in our heart and our mind, and let it come into our hearts to move us closer to God. But these events that I've read to you this morning, this vision that he has had, and even this book of Zechariah, and all that this man prophesied of, and this great Zerubbabel that built the temple of God that he's speaking about. This man was a captivity. A child of Israel, a Jewish captive in Babylon. He was born there, and as he is there, and he's coming out. And when you read of the book, if you go over, if you've read the book of Ezra, or if you read the book of Nehemiah, you look at the dates and when these books were written. And this book of Zechariah, and they're all within 100 years, or within a generation, if you will. And when the work of God's tabernacle started, you remember when Nehemiah went over there and he wept. He was a cupbearer for the king, and his countenance was fallen. And the king looked upon him and he said, Well, your countenance has fallen, Nehemiah. It was a dangerous position he had put himself in. His heart was broken. Because why? Because he had heard that the house of God was in ruins. That the place of Jerusalem, of his home, was in shambles. And this just destroyed his heart. It destroyed his countenance, and he wept before God. And God made a way for him to start rebuilding. And then there were the Sanballats and Tobias that rose up against the building of the house of God. Well, dear friend, what I read to you this morning is a blessing beyond measure to the people that were in captivity in the land of Babylon, because this is where God brought deliverance. This Zerubbabel, my friend, who carried on the work and finished the work and labor thereof, he had had opposition upon opposition upon opposition. I can promise you this, hell does not want God to turn your life, your body, your being into a house wherein God lives. Hell don't want it. The world don't want it. But I believe this. I believe I look out and I see lively stones that God has placed in his building. And I also would confess to you, I believe I see some potential of some lively stones that can be laid in the house of God. But the thing about it is, my friend, is we're going to have to believe the report. We're going to have to, my friend, be convinced of who has set it in order and who it is, my friend, that's bringing it all to pass in your heart and in your life. The one that is doing the great work of you in this world as you live. This man, without a doubt, was seeing some things that he had never imagined to see before. When he was awakened out of his sleep and this angel that came to him, he even testified that he woke him as it was as a man that is wakened out of sleep. I can promise you this, when God Almighty comes by your life and begins to inform your heart, begins to stir in your mind, and my friend, that begins to lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for your life to begin to be a work of God, and my friend, to that life that you will live in, and the things that your heart can see and comprehend and desire, it will be as if you are walking out of sleep. The devil would love to have you, children of God, asleep at the wheel. But I pray that the Word of God would quicken us, would wake us, that it would cause us to arise and shake ourselves from the dust of this world, and that we might go in, if you will, as it was even in the days of Esther, and present ourselves to the king, that we might see the work of God. Nehemiah, my friend, you can read of his efforts, and you can read of them that struggled against him. This is the Word of God through the great prophet, and my friend, and it's coming to a man by the name of Zerubbabel, son of Abrasel. Well, was Daniel Zerubbabel? Was Zerubbabel Daniel? I didn't find him to be the same. And if I'm mistaken, God forgive me. But I see them as two different men. The books were written nearly 100 years apart. My friend, and this other man, this Zerubbabel, without a doubt, was born down there in captivity. And my friend, he's coming out, but he's been commissioned by God for a great work. Church, God has commissioned our lives to a work greater than your natural mind can even fathom to comprehend. And the fields are wide, the opportunities are abundant, but God help you and I to believe that this charge has fallen to our hearts and our lives, not just in the days to come, but immediately right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Can we see these great works? Can we see the operation of God? Can our eyes behold it? Can our ears see it? Can our hands handle the salvation of God indeed to the uttermost? Lord, help us to believe it and go after it. Listen to what he's saying. And he said, I have looked and behold a candlestick all of gold. A candlestick all of gold. And he goes on to describe it, and he sees it, but he don't understand it. And there's many times in people's lives, I believe they see God, but they don't understand Him. They say, well, what does God want me to do? And I can promise you this, friend, in your mind and in your thinking, in the playground of the devil, I promise you confusion can arise. But I pray today, my friend, by the amazing grace of God, that you'd be able to turn off the thoughts of a carnal mind and look with an honest heart, and my friend, and be willing to say, I don't know. This man was. He was willing to tell the angel that woke him as he testified out of his sleep. And he said, I don't know. But you know what's so hard to tell and to help people is when they say, I know, I've got this. But in reality, this man was honest. He was open and honest, and he seen a golden candlestick. He's seen a light, my friend, without a doubt, that marveled his mind. I love when Chris mentioned of that word, this marvelous work, and people marvel many times at God. Listen to me. They sometimes, I believe, the gospel enters into people's hearts and minds and consciousness of soul, and they sit there and they marvel at it. Let's go a little further. This great candlestick that he's seen was there to bring illumination, and my friend, not just a physical light, but illumination unto his heart. And he had it. This man had it. When you read this book of Zechariah, my friend, and you can read the book of Habakkuk before him, and these two men worked together, and Habakkuk's vision was great, but Zechariah, I believe his vision was greater. He's seen farther. He's seen when he writes on down here, he testifies about a river that's a well of spring, of living water springing up to Jerusalem. He sees it all the way to Christ. He sees this candlestick. Have you ever in your heart and in your life, honest before God and yourself, nobody else here but you and him, do you know that you've seen Christ reaching, trying to illuminate your heart? Did we just recognize it as him and go on, or did we go further? Let us look further. He said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. He is seeing a light with a perpetual source of fuel. My friend, I promise you this, that God Almighty is a perpetual help in your heart and in your life if you are willing to yield unto him and acknowledge him for what he is, who he is, and who you are. To be honest with God, I tell you, they are a perpetual illumination before the house of God. They are a perpetual source, my friend, of knowledge and understanding. I pray to the God of heaven today that you, for your own heart and your own soul, would know that God, this great candlestick Christ, is right in the very presence of your soul, asking you, what do you see? Too many times we see ourselves in our own eyes. That I'm okay. I don't need that. I'll tell you, dear friend, we everyone must have the candlestick. Yes. We everyone must have it. It must be what illuminates our lives. Yes. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for corn. And my friend, them that rely on the things of this world to sustain them. Oh, the pride of life. It is so wicked. It is so vile. It is so destructive. I tell you, my friend, we need to come to the place to be willing to look at the candlestick. Listen to what he said. And he said, so I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? What are these, my Lord? Does those words remind you of anything? Let's think about this parallel just a little bit, if you will. Do you remember a man, my friend, that got smote on the road to Damascus? And he got down, my friend, if you will, in my mind, I see him on his hands and his knees. And what did he say? He says, what do you ask of me, Lord? Who is it, Lord? And my friend, he recognized that this great light that he's seen on the road to Damascus was the Lord. He is asking here. He says, what are these, my Lord? Friend, let me ask you something. All the times in your life that you visited the houses of God, all the times of your life that you sat under not just the preaching of man, but the preaching of the gospel, what are these? I tell you what they are. They are God doing everything that, my friend, that he can to turn your heart to him. This is what the gospel is. The reaching of the power of God to the souls of men. To cry aloud and spare not. Wake them up. Whoa, wake, awake, put on righteousness. And my friend, he charged us to tread his courts. Awake, awake, my friend. That's the call of the gospel. A calling of the soul of man to the very cross of Christ before it's everlasting too late. Oh, heaven help us. Listen on. He says, then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? The angel's inquiring of him again. Knowest thou not what these be? I love the prophet's honesty.
I love his open heart. And I said, no, my Lord. Friend, let me tell you something. I believe this with all that be in me is, if we are willing to be open and honest with God, God is able to write upon our hearts, the front lids of our minds, the true teachings of a holy God. But when we know everything, when we are standing in our own strength, when we rely on our own counsels, when we think of something that we have done, we refuse to hear the counsel of God. When we compare ourselves among ourselves, when we compare ourselves to the world, when we think that we're something when we're nothing, my friend, pride goeth before a fall. These things are going to come to the flesh of man. But if we would be willing and honest with God, I promise you, my friend, not even the half, not even the quarter of it's been told how small I am in all of my greatness of my own carnal consciousness, how minute I am, how, my friend, to the point of absolutely nothing without Christ in my heart. Now this is a prophet. There's an angel talking to him. And he's still saying, I don't know. I don't know. What is this that God is wanting me to see? He's wanting him to see the work of God in his life. What is the work of God? What is it? I know that in the New Testament they come to Christ and they said, what must we do that we might do the works of God? He said, believe upon him. I heard a man say this to me. It's been many years ago. It was heavy upon my heart, troubled me many times. But I remember what he said. He said, well, you don't want people like that in your church anyhow because you can't build a church out of them. And it just sunk down in my heart. And I was young at the time and I didn't understand what he was saying. But later on I dug at it. But then I realized it ain't me that builds a church, it's God. And it's God that, my friend, chooses the weak and the beggarly elements of this world to confound the mighty and the wise. He ain't trying to confound the mighty and the wise in the world. They're foolish in their own mind. He's doing his best to tear down them who think there's something down to ask of God. And where I once stood one day, along with you, dear brother, the God who's rich in mercy, God who's abundant in grace, come to where I was. And you know what he did? He pleaded with my conscience. He beckoned with my soul. He reasoned with me in my heart. And I come to the extreme conclusion that God Almighty's right and I was terribly wrong in my sins and I needed him. But let's keep looking. God help me. And he said, and then he answered and said, and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This is God's message unto God's servant. Now this is what the prophet's going through to get the word of God to deliver to the people of God, to them that are willing to work for God. And many times in our hearts and lives, my friend, we may not understand, but I can promise you this, that when the light of the candlestick begins to shine, when the source, my friend, of that illumination is not of this world, it can bring counsels to the heart, it can bring leadership to the soul that ends the debate of all the carnal mind. Glorious in his instruction. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the work of God. God is not interested in hearing me, please. I know that there are many people who are very talented. I marvel many times at Sister Karen's ability to play the piano. I've heard many men give her compliments that she's never heard of her ability to play, and it is phenomenal. And many times I've witnessed God in it. My friend, but let us run a little further. It is not that talent that merits anything. It's a gift of God. I know men who can sing and heard them sing eloquently. My friend, and I enjoy listening, but my friend, it's not to the glory of them. God does not call the qualified. But them that he calls, he will qualify. He wants us, my friend, to rely upon him. And that's why this message is coming to a leader that's coming out of captivity. You're going to have some victory, but you're not going to have victory by power and might. Those of you that God is dealing with, you're fixing to come out of captivity, and your victory will not be according to your strength and your might, but by the power of Almighty God. Yes.
Whoo! I've been wondering all morning what I was doing here. Bless his name. Those of you that he's about to deliver from yourself, you got some great things to be seen accomplished, but you won't do it by your power. You won't do it by your might, but you'll be able to see it by the power of God. Whoo, I love that. This man was about to be in the face of a servant that was going to leave captivity and build the temple of God. His hand was going to be working in the foundation of it, and his hand was going to be there to finish it. Thank God for a determined end. I'm not in this for part-time Wayne Justice. He saved his son from the mud slimes of this world. They need saints in the house of God for such a time as this. And there's breath in my body, strength in my members. So Lord, let us fight. Dear friend, he wants you to know that the victories of your life won't be by the strength of your hand. I studied for over 2 years very in-depthly to try to get my electrical contractor's license in 1988. I took the test. It's a 100-question test. It was 8 hours long. It's open book. I'm going to try to remember the numbers. These are close. These are not exact. It was like 2,250 applied. There was like 1,800 accepted and tested. There was like 230-some passed. That was the year I got my license. And the prior year to that, I missed it by 1 point. What are you trying to bring out, preacher? I had studied and studied and studied, and I still failed. I can promise you this, my friend, I am what I am by the grace of God in every avenue of my life. Yes. And I can promise you this, you might find believing in your hand, and when you find it all, you can get to the end of the road, and you can find this in the scriptures. And my friend, when they find believing of their hand, they're still not satisfied. They're still wanting something else. But I can promise you, I can assure you, I can testify to whoever would be willing to hear that maybe they would waken us as out of sleep. And my friend, I promise you this, when this golden candlestick, which is a perpetual light to enlighten us, and my friend, to lead us and to guide us, I'll tell you that can bring the power, that can bring the might of God Almighty to the deliverance of your life. And you know, preacher, I read about my brothers tied to a stake and on fire. Heard about two in England one time. They were both tied to a stake. And what they would do sometimes, when they'd tie a Christian to the stake, they'd take a little bag of black gunpowder and they would tie it around their neck. They'd tie it right here. So that when the flames got so high, up to right here, it would ignite that black powder and take them on out. But they want them to burn till they got up there and it set that little pouch of powder on fire and blew up, and then it'd kill them. And they was looking at each other and they tied one of them around his neck. And one asked him, said, "What is that?" "It's powder." He said, "Well, I'll have one of them too." I can tell you this, my friend, what this world measures success and superseding all dreams and expectations, I can promise you this, it's far cry from what God calls victory. But I would that God, with all that be in me is, I could tell you of the satisfaction of heart and contentment of soul when that you know that you know that you know that I am what I am by the amazing grace of God. You can know joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Preacher, I just don't know about that. There's more. There's more. Hey, you know, preacher, just look at the Word of God. I thank Him for His help to my soul. And He answered and said, and spake unto me, saying,
This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? Did Zerubbabel have a mountain in front of him? Now he's got it in his heart. Now listen to this. Zerubbabel had it in his heart to build the house of God. But he is a prisoner in a strange land. What a mountain that was in front of him. What an obstacle to overcome. Who, the Bible says, the Word of God says, who art thou, O great mountain? Do you not remember what Jesus said concerning the faith he's given the saints? Say ye to this mountain, be ye cast into the depths of the sea, and it shall be. Do you not remember a little man by the name of Caleb, my friend, who was a kinsman, who was confed, if you will, my friend. They were comrades in arms with Brother Joshua. And they brought back a good report. And my friend, he was over 80 years old. He come over there to Joshua and he said, you give me this mountain. The Bible says right here, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Listen what the Bible says will happen to this mountain. Thou shalt become a plain. A plain. I read in the Word of God where he said he would take the high places and bring them low. He'd take the low places and bring them up. He'd take the crooked paths and make them straight. That's what the Word of God says. Could I go just a little further? I tell you, he's brought my high mountains down. Chris, he's brought my low ground up. Rick, he's took my crooked places and made them straight. Yes. How do you know, preacher? Because I've lived it. Yeah. I've seen him do it for me. When there wasn't a way, Sister Elizabeth, I've seen him make a way. Look like a total impossibility. Look like hell had it in the handbag and gone with it. But God made a way. Oh, listen on. He said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. I love what Zerubbabel's about to do. Listen to this. He says, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Whoo! He shall bring forth the headstone. The stone in which the builders disallowed indeed has become the head of the corner. In Christ alone do I stand. I love my brothers and my sisters. If I'm forsaken of all, even helpmeet and children, may my life count for Christ by the power and grace of God and not by my own strength. Because when you think you stand, you better take heed lest you fall. They are sorrows and troubles that can overwhelm your heart that are beyond the comprehension of your mind immediately. It can happen. But I know who walks the dark hills. I know who does. I know who comes by my bed in the midnight hour. I know who wakes me up in the morning. I know who has calmed my storm, and I know who's calmed me in the midst of the storm. Are you? What are you saying? I'm telling you, this is a reality of serving God. Here is a prophet who's desirous to see the kingdom of God go farther. Here's a man without a shadow of a doubt that had a testimony of having some God knowledge. And without a doubt, he's inquiring of God. And God sends through the prophet the words that the worker needed to hear. And my friend, and he was to tell him, that my friend, you're going to do this, but you're not going to do it by your own strength or your own power. How that you're going to do it by the Spirit of God. All is vain unless the Spirit. Oh, there's more here than I'd have never imagined. But bless his holy name. He says, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. I tell you this. In the days of my life, to the keeping of my house, to me standing to this immediate second,
and to the cause that I testified of this morning, that has stood for over thousands of years and had hundreds of thousands of servants of God in the fields of it. It has stood not by strength nor by might, but by the power of God. This house stands today because of the power of God. I'm not talking about the four walls. I'm not talking about the ceiling and the floor, but I'm talking about the born-again souls that are in it. They stand by the grace of God. And here he comes bringing the headstone, and they're crying, "Grace, grace." What a blessedness that God would love me enough to carry the headstone. What a blessing it is that God would write upon the tables of my heart, the frontlets of my mind, are the words of the headstone. My friend, he done it by the word of God. If you come to God, you're going to have to come to God by the word of God. There's no other way. Any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And there's a lot of them in our land today. It's full of thieves and robbers. They want to climb up some other way. Anybody here is welcome at my house. But I've got a front door, and even beside it, I've got a doorbell. I would appreciate it if you come through the front door. I don't know of anything I've got in my house right now that I would not be willing to give anybody that's here. But I'd appreciate that you come through the front door. I would like to know that you're in my house. Now, if you come into my house, and my friend, I find you in there, and I know I've not heard that front door open, I know I've not heard the doorbell ring, and I find you pilfering through one of my closets, I might ask you some questions. But there's a door you can come through. And I'll shake your hand, I'll hug your neck, I'll offer you something to eat. You will be a welcome participant of my house. My friend, if you come to God, you must come through Christ. And it was God Almighty, not flesh and blood, not religion of mankind, but it was God Almighty who set up the foolishness of preaching. Not the teaching of mankind, preaching. Not the teachings of doctrine, preaching. The gospel. This is what God set up. Welcome to the door. You can come in and find rest for your souls. God help us to look on into the Word of God. He says, with shoutings, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Then moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." Friend, it is a blessing when you find the Bible, the Word of God, emphatically, indisputable, testifying to you that you belong to God. What do you mean, preacher? This used to condemn me. This didn't used to be my friend. This used to make me feel bad in the flesh because of what I was. In heart, mind, body, and spirit. But I can tell you this. It's my friend now. And I want you to understand, when this begins to testify of Jesus, and Jesus begins to testify of it, and my inward man is hollering amen on every breath. My friend, this is when these, as Jesus said, these are they, the scriptures, these are they that testify of me. God is telling this prophet that Zerubbabel's going to go and finish this. I've told you, and when you see it, you'll know that I sent you. Do you see what God is saying? He's including everybody. Though we might find, well, I just work so hard. Don't exact all your labors. Just serve God. Serve God with a glad heart. And listen to this verse again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." Now, without a doubt, this prophet had heard. It's been going on over 100 years. They've been trying to rebuild down there at Jerusalem. Nehemiah, Ezra, you can read all about it. Those are in the books of the Old Testament, just after 2 Chronicles. You'll find the book of Ezra, and then you're going to find the book of Nehemiah. You can read about these. Look at the dates when they were written. Look at the date when this one was written. And my friend, compile them together. Be wise. Let God school you and understand this. There's lots of people been a long time trying to get right with God. You've made an effort. You've made an effort. You've made an effort. You've made an effort. But yet you still know. You still know there's something wrong. Why? Well, you go back there to that water fountain, you push the button, water don't come out. There's something wrong. You go over the light switch, you flip the light on, that light's 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 off. That, we know there's something wrong. Friend, let me tell you something. God is not the author of your confusion. It may be that you're still on the bed of ease and you're dreaming about what you need to be and what you want to be and even what you might think you are going to be religiously. But I tell you what, when you hear the Word of God, it's going to wake you up out of your sleep. And my friend, and you'll begin to see something you're not understanding. Well, I'm just not sure what God wants me to do. Be honest with God and come to God and let God take care of it. Stop trying to make your own way. Stop trying to make your own sacrifice and accept His sacrifice for you. Understand this, that man's ways in his own eyes are always right. But I promise you, man is not able to see in true light his real ways. But when you get under the candlestick that has got perpetual illumination coming into it, my friend, a source that is inexhaustible of knowledge and wisdom and light and instruction, you can know where you're at with God. And He's not going to leave you there. But He'll have you, as was said this morning, come unto me. Listen on. For who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? It's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. Let me tell you where your mind's at. You're wanting to go slay the giant. You want to be David and you want this great giant to fall in front of you. You're Daniel and you want to know everybody you've had to be sleeping in the lion's den. Don't despise the day of small things. You might consider that today was just a day to be at the house of God. No, I tell you what, my friend, we like to look at the big, shiny, beautiful rocks that's in the wall. Do you know why that rock has stayed in that wall? It's that tampered mortar that's around it. The small stuff that's touching it on every side. My friend, don't despise the day of small things. But I tell you what, yield you. We want God to be God of the big things of our life. For instance, when people hit cancer, oh, we got to have God. Hit bankruptcy. Oh, pray. I'm going to lose everything I got. We see some big event come. We want God. Let God be God every day. Let God be God every hour. Let God be God in every avenue of your life. Well, that'll happen after I slay the giant. No, it won't. You don't understand, but the giant already slayed you. And the lion's devoured you. But it's just a figmentation of our imagination and what we religiously think we will finally be one day. Stop! Wake up! Listen! Don't despise the day of small things. Oh, but let us come to every line upon line and precept upon precept, yielding our every member to the unction of the Spirit of God. For who hath despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, with those seven they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now they're going to see the plummet line in Zerubbabel's hand. Now I can promise you this, that my friend, in comparison to all the instruments of building, that plummet line, when you begin to look at it, it is a very small object. But I'll tell you what, my friend, without it, things are not going to be straight. but with that plummet line. And they said, by the word of God, he said, you're going to see the plummet line in Zerubbabel's hand. That's telling me that a foundation's been laid. That's telling me, my friend, that they're rising up on the wall. That's telling me, my friend, they're setting some trusses and some rafters. That's telling me that construction's a long way down the road. So, my friend, I tell you what, it's going to be a continual thing in your life. It's going to be small things. And that plummet line will be in your hand, but there's also eyes all over that's looking at it. Why? Because that plummet line is not to get your approval. That plummet line is not to get the approval of the world. It's not to satisfy religious rhetoric. My friend, the eyes of the Lord is on what I'm doing right now. I want it to be right. I'm sick of seeing people run down the altar, say they got saved, and there's zero fruit out of their lives unto God. What are you saying, preacher? The devil's got them and dragging them to hell. That's exactly what's going on. Because their lives are not lining up under the candlestick. You don't see the perpetual guidance to them to cry, grace, grace, under the head of the stone of the corner. It's not occurring. This man was building the house of God. He's coming, my friend, over this great obstacle that's in front of him. Himself, captivity, whatever it may be, he's conquering this great mountain that's in front of him because God's brought it down low. He said, who will he look to? He said, I will look to a man that is of a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, that wilt not despise. Now I firmly believe this, that the man on the cross got saved. He was hanging there. He asked God to have mercy upon him. I believe he got saved. His knees were not bent. His hands were not folded. He was not bowed in an altar. But he got saved. It's an operation of God through the Spirit. I do know this. I believe this with all that be in me is. If he could have put his face in the dust, it would have been covered in dust. Because when salvation occurs in your heart and life, you're not standing up no more. No, my friend. And these people say, well, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Paul. I'm going to talk to David and Jonathan and all this other stuff. I'm going to see Mom and Dad. No, I tell you what we'll do. We'll be on our face crying, holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. The only name I can understand that could ever be mentioned in heaven, it would be this name, Jesus. Heaven, help me. I need to run along. He says on here, he said, then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And he's still being honest, my friend. I can promise you this. There's no man. I don't care what vision you've seen. I don't care how long you've been in the journey. I don't care how high and holy you might think you are. I promise you this. My friend, there's a time in our hearts and our lives that we still must have instruction of God. And this man says, no, I don't. I love what he said. Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. He still didn't see it. And that's okay. There are more of this I don't understand than I do understand. There's more hid in the treasures and the wisdom and knowledge of God than any man knows. But I would like to have this testimony, this that I do know, that I know came from God. Listen on. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. These are the two that stand before the Lord. Now, these two that are standing before the Lord, and we understand that the Lord is standing at the right hand of God. I'll tell you, God is the Christ is the pillar, the church, the pillar and rock of truth in Christ. We understand this, and listen to me very closely. Have you ever read this? And I mean it come alive. And it leaps. It leaps. Best word I know to tell you. It jumps. It accelerates from the page. It doesn't just land slightly behind your mind. But it jumps right down in here and it begins to churn. My goodness. Does this happen with you in the Word of God? This is just one book. But it's the Word of God. And it shall stand forever. It's perfect. Somebody that does not believe that this book is perfect don't know my Jesus. But this book is perfect. Preacher, that's just the book. I promise you that this leather and these pages will burn. They will rot away to ash. But the words are perfect. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. They are perfect. Well, I just don't know about that, preacher. Well, that's because you don't know Jesus. But I tell you, preacher, I tell you, dear friend, when you see that this is and you know that this is perfect, you're going to find out that this is anointed. This is full of life. Jesus said, my words are life and truth. I like what the two men said on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? As he sung, no, didn't say that. As he spake, as he opened, as he talked. I tell you, my friend, this is anointed. Now, where's the other anointed one? These are the two anointed ones that bring light, brings instruction, brings harmony. What is the other light? The Holy Ghost. It is the spirit of truth. It's not the spirit of error. Are there other spirits in this world that try to pollute the Word of God? I promise you. They are people sitting right here this morning who have had an evil spirit of this world to confuse their minds because they were honestly, I'm not trying to be offensive, but just honestly weren't willing to dig down to get the truth, but just wanted a religious rhetoric to soothe their conscience. It's the nature of our flesh. Don't blame yourself. We'll all go down that road if it weren't for the grace of God. But now God is crying to us to wake us up. My friend, that there are some great things that He's got in store for you. And you will accomplish these things, but you're not going to accomplish them by the strength of your own hand. By the level of your intellect, by your good looks, or by your talents, you're not going to accomplish any of that that way. You'll do it by the power of God. You won't do it at all. You'll have God in your home through humility and submission unto Him, or He won't be there at all. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now God troubled this prophet to speak to Zerubbabel, to inform him. Let's just read it again. I don't want to misquote it. And said, no, my Lord. And he answered and said, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the way that the house of God is going to be built. You're not going to build it by power. You're not going to build it by might, but you're going to build it by the Spirit of God. Friend, they that labor in vain, except the Lord build the house. Now, let's be so honest with ourselves that we would be found guilty as the prophet that spake to the angel that was speaking to him when he said, understandest what thou seest? No, I don't. Let's be as honest with ourselves and as with God as we've ever been in our entire existence. Who's building your house? Who's really building your house? Who is it that has given you the plans? Who is it that's given you the vision? Who's really building your house? I tell you what we do. We get goals set for self and we go after them. Oh, I'm going to be this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to finally get this paid for and then I'm going to have that. Who's building your house? Who is it that says yes? And who is it that says no? Who is it that says, wait just a minute? Who is it that says, go? Who is really building your life? I read in the New Testament, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Who's really building your life? I tell you what, friend, you can accomplish these great things, but you're not going to do it by your power. You're not going to do it by your might. But you will do it by the power of God. How do you know, preacher? Because the wise man built his house upon the rock. And Jesus said that the storms came and the winds blew and that house stood. But there's another man who built his house upon the sand. And the storms came and the winds blew. And the Bible says, great was the fall thereof. Who's building your house? Let's rest in our seats.